Welcome. I'm Jessica Teigen, and this is the Evolving to Exceptional podcast, where we talk about reaching peak performance in our workplaces, homes, and communities so that we can live our best life possible, an exceptional life. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Evolving to Exceptional podcast. We have another fantastic HR leader, Aaron Cole, with us this week. He is the Human Resource Director of American Industrial Transport, which is a manufacturing organization. He can tell us much better details than I can in describing that organization. He has an absolute passion for how to create a kind of a positive HR reputation and connect with that. And he's going to talk about that a bit this morning. And Aaron, I want to give you a chance to just maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, and why it is you do what you do, why it is that you're in the HR space, and why it gives you satisfaction and you choose to work in the space.
Right on. Well, thank you for welcoming me and having me, give a little bit of insight of what happens at AITX. I've been in HR for over 10 years now, even post grad school, and it kind of just slowly added to the, from a recruiter to a HRBP to director roles and senior HRBP roles, and just slowly but surely, added a little bit of experience along the way. But here at AITX, I was brought in probably about 7 months ago, and the previous HR director had left very abruptly. And so my time here was very interim at first. But as we grew and grew as a team, it felt like the right place to be. But about our company, we're in the railcar industry. Our big claim is that we do the leasing and fleet management side of things. So when you get stuck at a railroad crossing and you see all those cars go by, and you see all those call signs, those are our cars in some of those fleets. So we do a lot of that for companies across the United States and Canada. And then also we've just branched out and have a small fleet in France. So we're definitely an international company. And what keeps me going is trying to overcome previous HR experiences from an employee perspective, even though being in HR, still person. I want people to know that we're not the boogeyman. We're people too. And, we often have struggles. But I feel like if I can bridge that gap or mend those relationships, that's what gets me to warm my truck up in the morning.
So what, why do you think that challenge exists in the first place? What do you think it is that's created, the HR boogeyman or that reputation to begin with, that is kind of a theme as I talk with HR leaders of something that almost everybody's battling against or trying to overcome? Why do you think that exists?
I think that a lot of it has to do with resources. Typically when you're approaching an HR professional, our departments are pretty slim, and not by design, but just by recognition. I think a lot of companies are just now realizing the importance of HR pre or post COVID. It's like, oh wow, we really need someone to be able to navigate these times that we've never been in, and we need someone that's going to be an advocate for the company, but also be an advocate for the employees. I think also another part of it is that we have to play in the gray. Because we also have to have the best interests of the company, but we also have to make sure that the company isn't doing anything egregious that would affect the employee. And typically when there's an issue, when people come to HR, it's either a personal issue with a subordinate, supervisor. So there's a lot of, making nice, so to speak. And there's never it's very rare that people come and just say, hey. And that's one of our goals. I mean, I've got a skee ball game in my office just so that people could come in and just you get people talking and you get to learn a lot about what they've gone through, what they're going through, and what they actually need. So that's a, and it's never ending, because people are the ultimate variable. So you never know what you're going to get. You never know what issue someone's going to come with. You never know what successes or wins that people are going to come with too. So it's always changing and ever evolving, but it keeps it interesting for sure.
So what do you think, or how do you do that when you've got an organization that is global, that's large? There's lots of, I think, you know, hundreds of people, I think. I can't remember the exact number, but you've got a larger organization. How do you create those relationships across an organization? You can't possibly know everybody on a really personal level when you get to that number of people, right?
No, for sure. And I think a big part of us coming into when I say us, meaning our HR team, is being humble, understanding that we don't know we won't have an opportunity to meet everybody at the very beginning. We don't know the ins and outs of everyone's job. And for us to pretend like we do is disingenuous to the people who are the trade professionals or the supervisors or the people who've been here for, 40 plus years. I think that also, being in a position that you are able to take constructive criticism, and knowing that you'll have to go into situations where people had not so good of relationships with human resources or they felt like that they were being treated unfairly. And in some cases it's like, I hear you, I understand you. I understand, I'm not going to discount what you've gone through or what you're experiencing, but this is where we move forward from there. And this is how we make those connections and make those relationships better. We're at about 725 employees. And we are growing our team. But it's one of those things, we want to grow it in the right way and not just kind of throw people at processes when we don't really, when we're such an evolution of a company. I mean, we were just publicly traded not too long ago, so now we're private equity, and those are very two different types of businesses and industries and personnel and talent to look at. So it's going into situations, whether it's the leadership, being frank and understanding that you won't know anything or know anything or know everything. I think it makes it for a much more, I guess, warm opportunity to not say, oh, here comes HR, as opposed to here comes Aaron. Like that's mm-hmm. kind of how we want to look at it.
You mentioned there that you made a shift from publicly traded to private equity. What's the impact of that?
So a lot of it has to do with optics, looking at it from the outside in. A lot of it has to do with also just the size of the company. When we went from publicly traded, we had a manufacturing division essentially that was probably another 2,000 to 2,500 employees, and so you're taking the same number of people and then kind of dwindling it down because you have you're missing an entire division that went went in a different direction. I still think the approach is the same. I still think that the people who've been through the acquisitions, been through the being public, being private, I still think that the approach still has to be with the tribal knowledge of the organization, and not necessarily saying that that's how we've always done it is the wrong way, but being able to say that's cool, but how about we try it this way? How about we try a different approach and see if we get the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And so not to say that we were trying to change things that were working just fine, but in regards to process improvement and bettering those processes, starting from the ground, like you can't build a house with a weak foundation. So you have to start at the very bottom and be able to work those ways up. And it's been a struggle because there's kind of a eyes head down, eyes forward approach in some cases where people are just, hey, we've gone through all these changes, we've gone through COVID, we've gone through all these ups and downs. As long as I keep my head down and keep my eyes forward, then everything will be okay. Those are some struggles that we are coming upon for sure, to let people not let their guard down, but be receptive to change and receptive to, you know, moving that needle forward, whether it's more conversations, whether it's visits, you know, physical visits to the plants, to the sites. I mean, hopefully I get to visit our Paris location, but that's that's probably in the, that might
I'll
be
in the ticket for that. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, we might have to have like there has to be a work seminar there.
What are some of those foundational elements that you're talking about? I think that's a great way to put it, that you've got to build the foundation because otherwise it'll all fall down, right? So what are some of those components that are really important to get in place, or that you've had to work on getting in place in order to ensure that you have that strong foundation?
A big part of what we were not tasked with, but a big challenge that we had was just level setting with, you know, rules and regulations when it comes to, you know, governing yourselves as an employee of AITX. At one point we had a different handbook for every site location. And I understand the, you know, every site does things a little bit differently, but in regards to moving as a unified force, we had to, you know, basically set the groundwork and, you know, it was a big work in progress. We redid our entire handbook, you know, kind of set a precedence, but then also have call outs that, you know, maybe this site does this thing one way because of where they're located, and that's fine, but that doesn't mean that it's a company standard. So we'll pull out site specific policies, and have them, you know, govern that way. But then also, you know, level setting with people is like, hey, you can't do this. And not to say that you were maliciously doing anything wrong or egregious, but, you know, giving people the why helps build that relationship. We're doing this incorrectly. We need to do this way because of this, because of law changes, because of legislation, because of, you know, one of the 23 federal changes that came through in 23 from an employer standpoint, and being able to put those changes and put those and have those conversations. You've got to have some thick skin, because there were individuals that were, you know, very heels dug in, and this is the, like I said, this is the way we've always done it. And I will never discount that. I can't pretend like I know what you guys have gone through, what you guys have accomplished, what, how things were in the past. But moving forward, you know, as a unified force, we've got to at least understand what rules that we're going to abide by and why we're going to abide by those rules. And understand that if there are questions, let's have a conversation about it. It's not going to be, you know, we're not just going to stamp this and send it out unless it's, you know, required by law, and say that here's the lay of the land, and, you know, jump on or get left behind. We don't want to leave anyone behind. We're in a very strategic growth mode, and that means from a corporate side, that means from a repair facility side. So we don't. Why it's a lot easier to keep people that you already have than to try to bring in all new people. And it's a balance for sure. I will say that the struggle is it's consistent, because there's so much tribal knowledge, but we do have a large gap between new people and people who've been here. We have a lot of individuals who've been here 40 plus years, collectively. So I can't, you know, I won't say roll for feathers. I can't put myself in a position or put our organization in a position to whereas it's going to jeopardize all of that knowledge throughout the years just to make a point of, oh, this is where we're going moving forward.
What you talked about there is interesting in terms of all the different components that come into play in order to accomplish that. What would you say, you know, you've been working on this for a while, have been some of your biggest challenges or things that have been the biggest struggle as you've been working?
A lot of it had to do with the transfer of processes and information from an HR standpoint. When I first came in, I had 3 days with the previous HR director. And that was a challenge, because it was the conversations were more based around, okay, how do we at least continue people to get paid? Like, that's kind of, you know, number one, let's make sure everybody's still getting their paycheck.
Talk about foundational, right? Like, if people don't get their paychecks, you gotta get that right at a minimum.
No, for sure. But then also, you know, our team being very lean, but being very knowledgeable. You know, we didn't know what we didn't know. I will say that my second week here, I got a fun letter in the mail about, I guess, 3 years ago, filings weren't done correctly. And they were like, hey, these need to be done. And I was the person that could do it, should do it, had to do it. But there was some hefty penalties that were looming in the air. And I was like, well, this is a good first impression of a company. On the other side, it's like, well, this is my opportunity to, you know, kind of flex a little bit of HR know-how and muscle and be able to say, hey, you know, yeah, this, we don't want to see these, but let's go ahead and knock it out. Let's go ahead and, you know, dig our heels in and get things done on the back end. It was a long, long, long nights of, you know, getting reports and working with auditors and working with, you know, record keepers and all that stuff. But we did it, and you know, it's not a bragging, you know, I guess position, more of a, definitely an accomplishment, you know, a notch on the belt type thing. Mm-hmm. But it shows that when, not because it wasn't our issue, but because we were the ones who could fix it, gave it a little bit more pizzazz to it, because we could have been like, this isn't me, I wasn't here, not my fault. That's not gonna keep the lights on in the grand scheme of things. Another big issue that we ran into, and this was nothing that no one could even fathom. It's the first time I've ever had to go through this type of situation. We were going through our open enrollment, ready for our 1-1 renewal, and probably midway through December, we started getting letters and notices from some of our employees in the state of Ohio. And they were getting notices from a healthcare provider saying that they may or may not, you know, no longer be covered based on the negotiations of the organizations. And we had already finished open enrollment. We're ready. We're running test files with the carriers, and I've got, you know, 30 to 40 people that are upset, not with us, but we're the only people that they can reach out to.
They're worried they're not going to have insurance. It's a big deal.
We're the medium. And I mean, it unified us as a group on the, at the corporate level, because we were like, how do we not know about this? Like, who do we have to, whose door do we have to knock down? We went directly to our broker, and our broker, I mean, we went in hot and heavy. We went in like, you know, really just like, you should know about this and yada, yada, yada. And they were like, we had no idea, because of the number of people, it didn't trigger any red flags or anything. But it was one of those, it wasn't our fault, but we were the ones who were going to have to be able to be the face, for the employees who may or may not be infected or be affected. So a big part of it was having those tough meetings, having those tough conversations, having those town halls, trying to update people as much as possible with, you know, working with carriers, working with, you know, the negotiations. We only get so much information from them. And then also seeing, okay, what's our plan B? What if things go south? What if they say, oh, we're not going to cover all these people? What do we do from there? How do we plan that out? How do we cover that? Ultimately, it worked out where the two entities came to an agreement. It's one of those things where it apparently it happens all the time, but kind of behind the scenes. And it just happened to be with a group who was just recently acquired a year before. So there was already, you know, unsteady ground that they were brought in on. But that kind of reaffirmed the solidifying your base, getting to those people who had that knowledge, being able to have those tough conversations, moving forward as a collective whole, and being able to come out stronger. And on the other side, I don't wish that type of scenario on anyone. I would feel god awful if people couldn't get their benefits and it wasn't their fault. It's like we're just caught in the crossfire. So
yeah,
that was oodles of fun. That was 3 weeks of nonstop calls.
I can totally imagine. And you know, I think what that situation highlights that I think is really impactful is that how often, and I think this happens a lot in HR actually, where something totally unpredictable, you are doing all the right things, following all the right steps, suddenly happens and you have to completely pivot to change your focus, to have all of those tough conversations, to shift and figure out how to solve a problem that wasn't a problem 24 hours before it showed up. I think it actually highlights why having human resource leaders who can be strategic and adaptable and understand the implications of decisions and the impacts of those decisions and the importance of the communications that then come as a result is really essential. And it kind of ties back to the reputation of HR in that as you do that effectively, you recreate the reputation, and not with necessarily what you say, but how you show up and what it is you're doing in response to those challenges that come.
For sure, for sure. There are. I feel in some cases that was COVID in a nutshell. We just didn't think that it was going to last 2.5 years.
Right.
Literally the next, you know, when the first week that everybody was off, you know, everyone thought that, okay, 2 weeks, you know, we'll just take 2 weeks off, let this go over. Then 2 weeks turned into 2 months, then 2 months turned into 6. It was very, and it affected everyone. That's the commonality. Like, it wasn't just, it affected one industry or affected one skill set or one type. So that made HR, like I said, a lot more relevant. And it's always been relevant, but it made it a lot more relevant during that time, because we were looking out for our own well-being, but at the same time, we had to look out for how the company was going to be, you know, going through the PPP loans, and then how employees, if they were to get sick, and how, you know, all the other things that just kept happening. I feel like the evolution of the HR professional kind of multiplied a lot during COVID, not in ideal conditions. But it really did, you know, solidify the almost not the struggles, but the complexity that comes along with HR. And my HR generalist, I asked, I was like, well, what do you want to be a part of? Like, what do you want to, because we have two, you know, we collaborate together very well. But we have kind of our day to days, but in regards to being, you know, having exposure to different things, like I can't grow as a leader if I'm not leading. If that makes sense. It's as simple as that. If I'm not being an effective leader and giving or showing or providing opportunities to, you know, hey, let's sit in on this, you know, this 401k meeting, just so that, you know, yeah, yes, it affects you as an employee because of an investment standpoint in retirement, but what does that look like when it comes to non-discrimination testing? Why do we have these fees? You know, why do we have these different approaches to, you know, being able to attract and retain and recruit people based off of something that's very subjective as a 401k plan? You know, what are we looking at as far as like let's write some policies, let's put things into motion that allow us to grow, not within our specific silo areas. And I think that that's helping us out a lot, because people are branching out. They're not running and hiding as much.
I think it's interesting what you said there with how absolutely like COVID really elevated the profession, in that we had to adapt and respond in so many ways, and shift and change in so many ways. And help really support all the other people in doing the same. And how do we put the right practices in place to make that possible, to make that effective and impactful? And how do we train differently, onboard differently, recruit differently, all of the different pieces of the things that we do? And I wonder, as you were talking about that, about, you know, so much of HR has been seen as like this administrative function. And, you know, it's almost as if that administrative piece is it exists, but it's so far in the background now because of the different technologies and systems that we have to be able to accomplish things. We're not, you know, manually having to file personnel folders the same way that maybe existed in the past or things like that. And so when we get those systems and when we get that technology in place, we really can be that strategic, people-based, humanity-based leader, you know, in the organization. So as you think about that role, that strategic, you know, make a difference in terms of the business role, what do you see as the most important thing to be accomplishing? What do you see as, you know, that could be because of the challenge or because of what strategically can help your business grow or meet its goals? What do you think is most important from that, you know, strategic and enhancing the performance of people kind of standpoint?
I think a big part of it and kind of my driving force is putting the human back in human resources. There are many times that, and often people say, just go to HR. The term HR and human resources are completely different, even though they're the same. Whether it's a tough conversation or a strategic conversation, or a conversation that's, you know, we're just floating in an idea and kind of seeing where things land. I think it allows for much more organic and genuine type of growth when it comes to this on the strategic side of things. Being able to come into a meeting and just be able to have a conversation, you know, I'm Aaron. I just happen to work in human resources. Like there's got to be that identity side of things. And I know that in some cases with our strategy and our growth and our you know, trying to, you know, mend relationships, you know, people feel like that they've been just subjected to their title as opposed to the person. And I make it a very strong point to address people, whether it's by their first name or, you know, or whatever they go by, and really kind of the psychological side of it, you know, looking at, you know, active listening, really being able to pull out things from a personal standpoint, really being able to kind of, you know, I won't say level set, but be able to get in this, you know, walk in someone else's shoes to understand, you know, why they may feel this way or why they may feel this, why they may have this opinion or approach or design. And I do think that a lot of the administrative tasks have been, a lot of them have been automated. I will say that we are a little slower to adapt some of those automations. So it's, you know, it's one of those, the day to day, but I think that it's allowing us to use that as a talking point because we don't have those fancy systems in place just yet. Like we're in the process. But with that comes, you know, change adoption, and this is how we've always done it. And kind of the same, you know, I guess I would say pushback. I'll say just challenge that we faced, you know, just writing a new policy or a handbook or anything like that. So from the strategic side, I look at it as, you know, really focusing on the human aspect of human resources. Really looking at it from the, you know, how is this going to affect this person as opposed to what are we going to do to change, you know, this entire group of people? Like you've got to individualize it because we are individuals. You've got to individualize it because in some cases, one bad apple could spoil the bunch. But then also, you know, if it's the other way around, then everybody's going to want to, you know, up their game. Everybody's going to want to be better. Everybody's going to want to participate more. Everybody's going to, you know, want to, in some cases, you know, stand out and be recognized without having to be called on. So it's an ever growing thing. I think it's different between industries. This industry is very a lot more blue collar. So it's a lot more relatable in some cases. My dad was an electrician. My mom's an art teacher. So I feel like I can't get any more blue collar than that in some cases. But understanding that just because I work in HR doesn't mean it's cold. Doesn't mean I'm not approachable. So that's why I really try to lead with the human aspect of it.
I love that you have such passion around it and making that difference. And even you talked a little bit, and I talked earlier about the administrative component. Part of that, I think, is that what you're doing now in terms of getting into an HRIS system, or like the elements of that are highly complex, that it's not actually just punching numbers into a system, or like the truly administrative tasks that have existed are so much more complex around communication and doing it effectively and rolling out and managing change and all the things you were talking about that you have to deal with in those different situations. I'm curious what you see right now that the people within your business most need. So the people, the human side of your organization, what do they need the most right now? What are they maybe struggling with the most, or they need support around the most right now, in their day to day, or in terms of their performance journey?
I think a big part of it, and our group right now, collectively, we've been together for a short amount of time. I think a lot of it is it's definitely starting on the relationship side, because a lot of it has to do with the buy-in from the 30, 40 year tenured employees. You know, not everyone likes change, but it happens. Like, the weather's going to change every day, the seasons change, you know, the traffic changes. But you don't have to like it. You can not like summer, you can not like winter, but it's going to happen. Well, in some cases, it depends on where you live. Might not.
True.
Climate change might be changing that for some people, but I think that's one of our biggest struggles, is that we are so I hate using passionate, but it's involved, engulfed, dedicated to making, not even just the company, because I feel like making the company better, you can't start without the people. Like that, I always go back to the people. And so that's our biggest struggle is getting that, well, we don't want, you know, we've always done it this way, or this is how it's always been done, and the adoption to change. But there is a resilient factor. Like, we know we've come from other organizations where we've put these systems in process, and or we've put these systems in place, and we've seen productivity go through the roof. We've seen attrition go take a nosedive. We've seen turnover numbers, you know, take a nosedive as well, because of being able to have more time to have those conversations and not say, oh, I can't talk to you, I'm doing payroll. Well, let's see how much time we've got to talk, because payroll's kind of doing itself right now. We're just, you know, spot checking. Or let's see how much time we have to do when we're actually talking through an FMLA leave, or what that means. And kind of spell it out for you. So it's not just the, oh yeah, by the way, it's job protection for the 12 weeks, you know, so, and really being able to bridge the, what people think they know from an HR standpoint, to what we actually have to provide to them. Access of information, whether it's, you know, things that most carriers offer, but most employers don't even know that are even around. I mean, I've got a treasure trove of things that come with our benefits packages that, one, it would make our enrollment guide ginormous. So it's like, I don't put it in there, but using our intranet, using our LinkedIn, using, you know, news blasts, you know, being able to get that information out in front of people, and being there for them to ask the questions, to understand it. Like, that's the big part. It's like, you can say, here's all the stuff, figure it out. And it's no better than it. I feel like that creates the more of the head down, eyes forward, get my work done, go home, and not really be a part, be as an involved part of the company as I could be, should be, or want to be. So that's the big, I guess, struggle and dynamic for sure is that we're going up against, you know, changing of the guards, whether it's processes and systems. And you know, I think in some of our locations, we're still using paper timesheets with the punches. Mm. So we're like, we've got a lot of time to evolve. That's probably going to be one of the first ones that we that we look at. Just so that you take that, you know, take that aspect out of people's lives so that they can have those conversations. You know, you spend a lot of time in the car and at work, you know, Why spend even extra time doing things that can be automated? Why spend extra time doing things that, you know, looking or hunting for something that I can say, you can just reach out to us and say, hey, I have a question about this. It's changing. It's changing slowly but surely. We do have a lot more people that are a lot more, they'll reach out. They'll you know, whether it's anonymously, whether it's specific to a, you know, specific benefit, or someone. I mean, I've had conversations with individuals. They just needed to talk. Like, they just needed to talk about what was going on, and they didn't feel comfortable of, you know, going through that part of, you know, explaining that part of, you know, their personal life with their supervisor, which is perfectly fine. But had we been too inundated with our processes or our administrative tasks, maybe things wouldn't have turned out so well for the individual. Maybe they would have, you know, went down a path that probably shouldn't have gone down. And it's not a gloom and doom approach. It's just that if I can help and if I can be of a resource, that's where the resource comes in, from the new resources, then I'll be there. I'll do it. I'll drop everything. And it's a double-edged sword, because you open up that box, that Pandora's box, and it's like, oh, okay, you guys really do want this help, but hey, here we are.
Yeah, and yeah, it is a double-edged sword, because you end up with them coming, right? Coming back, needing that support. What I'm curious what you're doing in terms of, you know, helping managers to potentially be that resource as well, to develop, you know, your managers, your leaders, even your employees, and to provide them that employee experience from a human resources standpoint that has them wanting to stay, wanting them to engage and do their best. What is it that you do in that space to create that experience?
I think a big part of it is being available, and I know that everyone's time is precious. You know, I've got a family, and I try to give them as much my time as possible. It's something you can't get. It's something you can't get back. In regards to, you know, just the way that the universe works, or at least we haven't found that part out yet. But I think that it's going back to that relationship building, mending those bridges. There's been a lot of change, even post you know, acquisitions and post. There's been a lot of change in whether it's leadership or direction or people being or coming and going out of you know, leaving the organization. So it's I get the hesitancy to want to collaborate. I understand there, because some people were like, well, you're probably just going to leave in a year anyways. And if all the intentions, I don't have any intentions on moving or changing or wanting to be, you know, in a different position or role. I do see a not even just the opportunity, but I do see progress. I do see that, you know, I do see emails that come back that aren't just one sentence where it's like, okay, now I've got a dissertation, which is fine, but I feel like communication isn't a bad thing, whether it's short, whether it's long. Like, you're still making a breakthrough, and physically being there. I call it a campaign tour, shaking hands and kissing babies, visiting the actual sites, understanding, you know, from a first person perspective of what people are dealing with, that people are going through. Whether it's the managers, whether it's, you know, the paint or the decal or the blast or the fabricators, or from the corporate side, it's going over and just saying, you know, I will never pretend like I know exactly what everybody does, because then I won't be doing my job. I will engage and make sure that I understand what your job is and how I can help you do your job better, or I can put you in a position, or I can, you know, provide you with the guidance or assistance that'll help you do your job better. And it might not even be work related. It might be something outside of work. It might be, oh, I just need to know, you know, what's the difference between an HSA and an FSA, because I'm going to go have this one thing done, or I have to go pick up this one thing. And being able to lift that weight off people's shoulders helps them, you know, be a better, be more productive in the work environment. and being able to add benefits. I mean, we're behind the times, and from like a leave standpoint, so we're, you know, heels dug in on locking down parental leaves, but not just for, you know, just for everybody. Like if you're bringing a person into your life, you should have time off. Like that's, it seems as it's very simple to say, but you know, when this is one of the oldest industries in the country, so we've done things the traditional way a long time, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But if we're going to evolve, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be a true competitor, just not even in the industry, but just for talent, for people, for skill sets, we've got to be able to have that truly open door policy, minus closed right now because we're talking, but but have that open door policy and be the example for those managers, so they can understand that it's okay to talk to people about tardiness and not feel bad about it. Like it's okay to ask someone, you know, is there anything that we can do to help you get to that point? To if it's like, oh, I need to maybe my start time needs to be pushed back. How can we accommodate that? Mm-hmm. And that might be you might change a bottom performer to the best performer just based off of something. Just, hey, how can I help you? I joke about it. I've wanted to work at Chick-fil-A part time just to see what their training manual is like, just to see what they do and how they teach it, and just to, you know, kind of like a fly on a wall. And I mean, because they'll basically run you down if you forgot your freaking Polynesian sauce. So it's like, how do I you know, relay that type of enthusiasm, that type of energy, and have it replicated throughout the company? Because I feel like it'll be a lot easier to put in the hard work and the man hours behind the scenes and have those long conversations or have that availability, and then start to see, you know, you got to keep watering the plants to see the plants grow. So right now we've got the bed set, we've got the soil, we've got the ceilings. The ceilings are starting to come up, but we're still having to water that garden. But if we don't, garden's going to die, and we don't want a dead garden.
Yeah. Well, and I think what I love too about a lot of the different elements you talked about there, you know, the benefits and the, you know, parental leave and the traditional versus like helping them to see the power of having a conversation about adjusted start times or those small, what are perceived as small things, they become more about how do you get the performance and the results that you want out of the people that you have working, rather than how do you manage to an outdated policy or practice. You know, I pick on parental leave, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, you've given birth or you've adopted a child or whatever the situation is. Those, if you've got a new baby at home, you're probably not sleeping. And so do you want that employee showing up to work without sleep, without, you know, not able to actually perform? And so it actually, some of those decisions actually become decisions about what's best in terms of performance output. I mean, what's best for the person too, but both of those things can actually come together in a way that produces good outcomes for the person and the organization. If you can shift off of, this is the way that it is, and so it must always be this way. If you can shift out of that mentality and understand what are the pros and cons beyond just for the person, but also for the business, are there benefits to the business to giving people that extra time off or allowing somebody to adjust their start time? Absolutely there is, right? If showing up 30 minutes later means they can get their kid to school and they're not late every day, you know, in terms of a normal start time, you know, maybe you get better results from that person. And so I think it can go a long way. So Aaron, I've loved our conversation here. I'm curious if you have any final thoughts or anything you'd like to share with our audience as we wrap up this episode.
No, I appreciate it. I really appreciate that. This has been a great experience. I kind of get really long winded in some cases, so I'm trying to be mindful and obviously respectful of your time and obviously very humble to be, you know, in your presence. I think that, you know, a takeaway is, you know, HR departments are still people. Like we still go home. We still sit in traffic. We still have to, you know, we still we have the same challenges in life. Maybe they're in different periods of our life or times of our life or anything or something like that. But I think that being able to understand that we advocate for the company as well as for the employee, because we represent the company, but we're also an employee. So we have to play both sides, and sometimes that's hard for people to either understand or to disassociate with each other. But a true and a passionate HR professional, you will be able to tell. And even though we run a very lean department, and like I said, not by design, there's just so much that we're trying to unpack. We will, from a departmental standpoint, we will make sure that anyone that comes along can kind of fit that human first approach to everything, whether it's benefits, whether it's leave, whether it's time and attendance, whether it's pay, whether it's all those things. Like, we want to have a human first approach, because without the people, there's no business. And, without the human, you can't provide the resources. So that kind of makes my job null and void.
Yeah, absolutely. That is an interesting way to look at it. And as of yet, there is no way to have a business that does not have humans in it. So let's hope that it stays that way, and that we don't actually end up with businesses and workplaces that are entirely computer generated. But for now, the human is absolutely essential to our workplaces, to our businesses, to everything that we try to accomplish.
Absolutely.
Aaron, thank you so much for sharing your experience and all of your amazing insights about what it means to create a truly caring and connected HR department, and to kind of dispel some of the myths about HR and why we do what we do, or why we're there in the first place. So thank you so much for coming on today's episode.
No, thank you.
I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for your time as well.
Absolutely. So to our audience, as always, just remember to keep evolving, keep growing, keep expanding, and you will find what it is you're looking for, and enjoy the performance journey.